Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, September 11th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. 80% of the Northwest is in drought. Inspection of federal prison at SeaTac, Washington finds a health care department in crisis. And 60 groups in Washington call for end of federal overreach in its war against immigrants. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. 60 organizations and 1,000 members of the Spokane community have signed a statement with 7 demands for the federal and state government to protect the safety and rights of immigrant families and advocates. The petition comes after Spokane police and Spokane County deputies brutalized some of the June 11th protesters. Besides deploying smoke grenades and flashbangs, those who gathered at the Ice Age Floods Playground in Riverfront Park yesterday heard stories like that of Amy Manning. Manning watched as police grabbed her 23-year-old son by the hair and shoved him to the ground and arrested him during the June 11th protest. According to the Spokesman Review, Manning told the group of about 40 people, "It was meant to send a message to scare us, to silence us, to make us believe that standing up for our neighbors is too dangerous. We have to continue to show up for each other. Silence will not serve us, but now more than ever, we need to be vocal, visible, and continue together to resist these fascist government assaults on our community." Some of the groups that signed on to the effort were Fuse Washington, Latinos in Spokane, Manzanita House, Peace and Justice Action League of Spokane, Spokane Community Against Racism, the NAACP, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Greater Washington and North Idaho, and the Episcopal Diocese of Spokane. One of their demands is for the Washington legislature to pass a bill to require the Attorney General's office to investigate patterns of misconduct by law enforcement, including when they violate the 2019 Keep Washington Working Act that limits local and state law enforcement cooperation with federal immigration enforcement agencies. Another demand is a $500,000 community fund for emergency aid for immigrant community members. They are also demanding the federal government drop charges against 9 of the June 11th protesters who were reacting to a social media post from former Spokane City Council President Ben Stuckert, who said he was going to sit in front of an immigration bus that was standing by to take away a Venezuelan friend who he had sponsored. Amy Manning, who was also arrested that day, said, "That day we gathered in peace. We even sang happy birthday to Cesar, one of the detained, on his 21st birthday. But what met us was not justice. It was fear. It was force. It was brutality. 185 officers were deployed against a peaceful protest. That day our protest was brutalized. Our constitutional right to assembly and free speech was decimated." Someone nudged her son, Holden Manning, into a police officer by accident, and another officer grabbed him by the hair and slammed him to the ground. At that point, police handcuffed Amy Manning. She watched as a Spokane County Sheriff's deputy grabbed another young person by their hair. Prosecutors charged Amy and Holden Manning with failure to disperse and later dropped the charges. Amy Manning said, "Let me be absolutely clear. There was no violence until law enforcement created it." Acting U.S. Attorney for Eastern Washington Stephanie Van Marter said when her office filed federal felony charges against 9 people in July, quote, "We respect and honor everyone's right to peacefully protest." Van Mater's press release from July said, "Some protesters blocked the driveway and are pushed against officers despite orders to disperse and attempts to remove the defendants from the property." The release also said one protester struck a federal officer from behind as the officer was attempting to clear a path for transport vehicles to leave the building. Some of them then, quote, "placed trash cans sand, cement bags, benches, signs, and other objects in front of doors and exits to block the exit of federal officers and detainees from the federal facility. The parents of an autistic high school student who committed suicide have filed a tort claim against the West Ada School District in southern Idaho. Ross O'Kane Aguirre and Michael Aguirre say district officials and Meridian High School officials failed to follow the individualized learning program for their son, Mateo. Mateo also had attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Mateo Aguirre committed suicide in October 2023. The claim filed August 15th says Mateo relied heavily on sensory accommodations, including wearing hoodies, beanies, and occasionally sunglasses for migraines. It says school officials suspended him for wearing a beanie to school, even though his individualized education program allowed it. The Idaho Education News reports the claim says after Mateo died, his family requested information from Meridian High School about the suicide, and they were informed the school had no record of any disciplinary action involving Mateo that day. The O'Kane Aguirre family wrote in a statement to the Idaho Education News, because the school's take very little accountability, this was the best option for our family and to make sure Mateo's life is never forgotten. Our son is no longer with us, but we will fight the good fight in hopes that this action can make a lasting impact for other kids like Mateo. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, U.S. Drought Monitor reports more than half of the Pacific Northwest is in extreme drought. According to a July analysis and new data from this month, the agency says nearly 80% of the Northwest is in at least the moderate drought category. Oregon State climatologist and Oregon State University professor Larry O'Neill said the rising drought conditions stem from a lack of spring rain between April and August. O'Neill told the Oregon Capital Chronicle, "We got about half of our usual precipitation during that time." O'Neill said drought conditions have increased despite a wet winter, which filled reservoirs. He said spring precipitation is quite important for a lot of the state, especially for wildfire danger and for agricultural livestock production. O'Neill said, "For most of Oregon and the Pacific Northwest, the drought conditions are short-term, except for in Umatilla, Wallawa, and parts of Baker County, which have been experiencing drought for more than a year." Oregon Governor Tina Kotek declared drought conditions for Union, Baker, Coos, Douglas, Lincoln, Morrow, and Wheeler counties. Declarations permit the Oregon Office of Emergency Management and the Agriculture and Water Resources Departments to provide assistance to the counties by fast-tracking the review processes and by a reduction in emergency permit fees, which allows for drawing more water or a temporary transfer of water rights. O'Neill said stream flows in rivers in northwestern and western Oregon reached record lows this summer. He said agency scientists say across the Northwest, more than half of stream flow sites the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration measured are below normal. O'Neill said they are paying close attention to Siletz, Nehalem, Alsi, and the Chetka rivers, which heavily rely on spring rains for water. The Washington Department of Ecology issued a drought emergency for the Yakima River drainage. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration scientists say the situation is perilous. That's due to mega droughts in the early 2000s and now in the early 2020s. They say the current emergency is not as bad as 2021. In July of 2021, nearly 60% of the West was in extreme or exceptional drought. Analysts wrote, "Current drought coverage and intensity pales in comparison to peak drought conditions in the early 2020s. The agency's Climate Prediction Center has forecast equal chances of above and below winter precipitation for the region, with a small chance of above normal rains. O'Neill said, "We're crossing our fingers, hoping for the rain to come." You're tuned into the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
KRFP thanks its listeners and sponsors, including Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tie-dye-everything.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Hungadunga Brewing Company of 333 North Jackson Street in Moscow. Hungadunga features live music, special events, fine food, and craft beers at hungadungabrewing.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Over 60 organizations across Washington state have signed a letter urging officials to enhance protections for immigrants and to drop all federal charges against ICE protesters. Immigrant rights advocates say tactics by police and federal immigration officers are escalating after 37 people were arrested at a June protest in Spokane. A month later, 9 more activists were arrested from their homes and cars and hit with federal conspiracy charges. Liz Moore of the Peace and Justice Action League of Spokane calls the arrest an abuse of federal power.
Both our neighbors are being terribly targeted because of the color of their skin or because of their status as immigrants. And that targeting is expanding to include people who are showing up for our neighbors using our First Amendment rights.
The letter includes a call to use tax dollars to fund emergency aid for immigrant communities that are impacted by increased ICE activity in the state. The Trump administration says it is following through with its promise to carry out the largest mass deportation in U.S. history. Local charges against the June protesters were dropped, but federal charges against the 9 arrested later remain. PJAL's volunteer Amy Manning says it's unusual for federal charges to be pursued without local law enforcement involvement. She notes that 2 of the accused are leaders of the Spokane Coalition Against Racism.
It does feel like an attack on our leadership, our ability to stand up for our neighbors, our ability to take that risk.
A broad swath of people and organizations have signed on to the letter, including churches and direct service providers. Reverend Emily Kinker with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America spoke yesterday at a press conference.
Scripture calls on us to welcome the stranger, to stand up for the marginalized, to defend the foreigner. As people of faith, we are here to answer that call.
For Public News Service, I'm Isabel Charlet.
An inspection report on the Federal Detention Center at SeaTac, Washington, quotes prison health services department leadership saying the healthcare system in the prison is in crisis. The Federal Detention Center, which holds up to 1,000 prisoners, is not associated with the controversial privately run Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, a crowded facility where ICE puts people waiting for immigration court proceedings or who are facing deportation. The Spokesman Review reports the federal inspection at the prison in SeaTac found half the facility's health service positions were vacant as of last winter, and the clinical director position had been vacant for 2 years as of December. The inspection found delays in treating routine and serious health conditions among prisoners and a backlog of laboratory orders for all inmates, including those with chronic conditions. It also found delayed health intake screenings and tests. That included a backlog of 480 blood draws that were more than 30 days overdue. Health services employees told inspectors if they can't get blood test results, they can't monitor the condition of inmates with chronic diseases such as diabetes. The inspection also found unsafe medical management and unsanitary conditions. Inspectors also found leaking pipes, water damage, and inconsistent shower temperatures, and there was evidence of rodents in 2 areas. The inspection report recommended the Federal Detention Center start logging every inmate sick call and commence regular reviews of the wait times for sick requests. It also recommended the prison begin performing preventative health care screenings and offering pregnancy tests. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area. There is a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Mostly cloudy, low 52. And up to a quarter inch of rain possible, except higher amounts and thunderstorms. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 a.m. tomorrow. Then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Mostly sunny, high 78. Mostly clear Friday night through Saturday night. Lows 52, high Saturday 81. And a 50% chance of showers, mainly in the afternoon Sunday. Partly sunny, high 69. Currently 75 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. There you can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ, there's a PayPal option, and there's a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robardis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. Coming up after an episode of Noise Filter, we'll have Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, we have Appearing Locally, which will feature music from artists that are appearing in the Moscow Pullman area in the near future. And at 8 o'clock, we will have First Wave, and we'll have a couple episodes of Connecting the Notes from 9 to 11 p.m. Vintage live recordings of jam bands with The Ride on 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Stay tuned, KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Giant Palouse Earthwork, providing DIY music booking in Moscow and Pullman, focusing on extreme metal, punk, hardcore, and the avant-garde. Giant Palouse Earthworm is available on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Rembrandt Tree Care, family-owned and operated since 1977. A conscientious approach to urban forestry with year-round tree service on the Palouse and surrounding areas. You can reach Rembrandt Tree Care at 509-330-0699.
KRFP thanks all of its donors and underwriters for helping make this programming possible.